Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another week of Talk That Talk with Tweety and LJ. A little tough time this week. I'm a little bit under the weather, and the weather is actually fairly bad out here. But we will push through and continue to deliver a quality show. So a lot going on now in the sporting world today. Athletes doing crazy things. Lil Okafor. Y'all hear about what's going on with Lil Okafor? You know, Lil Okafor, if you don't know, he played 1 year at Duke. He played center for the Philadelphia 76ers. Played center for the 76ers. He was the top three draft pick. He was that number one draft pick for the 76ers this past week. Excuse me, in the NBA draft. He's been having a pretty good season so far, having a rough weekend. Well, I would say rough last 7 to 10 days. Sometime this week, earlier this week, video started surfacing on the internet through TMZ. Had a video of him getting into a bar fight, and it looks like he punched a guy. Nasty situation, obviously, because he's a big guy. He's like 7 foot. I obviously probably weighs north. He clearly weighs north of 200 pounds, probably weighs north of 250 pounds, but, you know, very big guy. But I was looking at some stuff on the internet this morning, and I also saw that he got a ticket today, last night, something along that line, for driving 108 miles per hour. Crazy. Come on, son. I mean, you know, this to me, it sounds like maybe he's got, I mean, I don't know Jahlil Okafor. When he was at Duke for that 1 year, you never heard about him having any issues as far as, like, his behavior or anything like that. Never had any issues up to this point in the NBA season, up until, you know, the fight video surfaced. But, you know, you wonder, it makes me wonder, the first thing I think of as somebody with kids is there's something else going on. Because if he hadn't gotten into trouble and you've never really heard of him being a troublemaker up to this point, you know, it just seems like the behavior is kind of a little odd, may not fit who he normally is. The other thing, I didn't see anything about whether he was drinking or not. Or, what, you know, I just, but as far as ticket goes. But the one thing that, there is also a report after the video of the fight came out that he had gotten into it with some fans before at a bar in Philadelphia. This particular incident, the one that just came out, happened in Boston, outside a bar in Boston. He had gotten into it with some folks at the bar in Philadelphia, and somebody maybe possibly put a gun to his head, getting into it with some hecklers. You know, the interesting thing about this to me, outside of the kid's behavior, because, you know, he's rich, young, you know, hopefully this is not a sign of some type of behavioral issue that will continue for him as his career moves forward, because he's got a bright future as a basketball player ahead of him. The issue that I had, the interesting thing to me is fans. What fans are allowed to say and what fans feel like they have the right to say to professional athletes. I think it's very interesting that, you know, you'll go to a lot of, you go to NBA games, and even, you know, the college students say some pretty nasty things to college athletes, but professionally, you go to some of these games, you will hear, I mean, all kinds of curse words. I'm sure there's racial slurs from time to time, if not more often than that, that are thrown out at some of these NBA players. And the thing to me is that I think there has to be a line that you cannot cross, because I don't feel like that just because you're a professional athlete and you're rich that that gives people the right to just come in and say whatever they want to say about you just due to the fact they paid to come and watch you play, you know. But you know, obviously he plays in the NBA. If he's got some issues, I'm sure the 76ers, who has just been 76ers has been nothing less than a train wreck over the last four seasons, probably, and probably will continue to be a train wreck going into the future, as they have still not won a game up until this point. But, you know, we'll continue to follow it and see what happens with his career as he moves forward. Moving on, something very, very, very much more interesting. Well, I would say more interesting, but a lot more to the forefront right now. College football playoff system. Plays, well, just to give an update, top 10 games. Baylor lost over the weekend. Baylor was number 7 in the college football poll rankings, or whatever they call it, college football playoff rankings. Baylor was number 7. They lost to TCU. Notre Dame was number 6. They lost to number 9, which was Stanford. They lost 35-38. Number 1, Clemson won. I think they won by 5 points. Pretty close game. Alabama, pretty tough game, pretty hard-fought game. They had to, you know, stretch it out with against Auburn. I forget who number 3 is. Ohio State was in the top 10 one. They beat Michigan fairly easily. Anyways, my point is that there are some top 10 losses that are going to affect the rankings when they come out this upcoming Tuesday. Now, the college football playoff system is in a very peculiar situation to me because, okay, Clemson still has one more game to play, obviously. If they win out, they're in because they're the only – well, I don't say the only – they're undefeated still, and they're the number one ranked team right now. Alabama still has SEC championship game. They're number 2. If they win, they're going to be in. There's no way they're going to bump Alabama out. The number 3 and number 4 teams, to me, is where it gets interesting. Now, if my memory serves me correctly, Oklahoma played their last game last night. They destroyed Oklahoma State. Oklahoma's probably going to be in. But you had – let's go to Ohio State. Ohio State, I believe they were number 10 in this poll. But Ohio State was number 1 at the beginning of the season and for a good portion of the season just in the overall rankings in general. They got jumped by Clemson after a while because of just they just weren't playing very well. But anyways, they dominated Michigan yesterday. Michigan State, who was number 5, beat Penn State. So what you have right now, the way I'm looking at it, is you have 3 teams who are, as long as they win out, are going to get in. Clemson is going to get in if they win out. Alabama is going to get in. And I think, like I said, I think Oklahoma doesn't have any more games, so Oklahoma is in. Then you have the 4th team. This is where it's going to get interesting. You've got one Big Ten team right now that's undefeated that was in the top 4. They were number 3 last week, Iowa. They won. They beat Nebraska. They're in the They're in the Big Ten championship game. Michigan State beat Penn State. They're in the championship game. Now Iowa's undefeated, so you know clearly if Iowa wins the Big Ten championship game, you know goes without saying they're probably going to be into the college football playoff system playoff. They're going to be in college football playoffs. What'll be interesting is what does the committee do if Michigan State beats Iowa? And I suspect that Michigan State will probably go into the Big Ten championship game favored to win over Iowa. But what happens if Michigan State beats Iowa? Right? Because then you'll have Michigan State, quality one-loss team. They lost on a very weird play. I forget who they played, their one loss. You have Ohio State, came into the season ranked number 1, been number 1 most of the season, easily defeated Michigan, a top 10 team. And then Iowa will only have lost one game. Now, Iowa doesn't have quite the strength of schedule that either Michigan State or Ohio State will have. But who gets into that fourth spot will be very interesting, because you could easily see a situation to where if Michigan State wins the Big Ten championship game, they still don't make the college football playoffs, and they get leapfrogged by Ohio State, who doesn't win the has no shot at becoming their conference champion because they can't play in the championship game. So if Michigan State wins, it'll be interesting to see what happens to that fourth spot in the college football playoffs and how the committee handles that and what they do to sort that out. The other interesting thing to me is that one I recall as a lot of fans, coaches, media types were clamoring for some sort of playoff system in college football. One of the issues that they used to have with the old system, where it was just straight up polls, or even the DCS, whatever you want to call it, was that you receive credit as a team for losing earlier in the season, right? As opposed to maybe not necessarily the quality of your loss matter. I mean, maybe the quality of the loss didn't matter as much, but it mattered more when you lost. And this college football playoff system was supposed to help eliminate that. But if you look at it, it's going to end up doing exactly what it's going to basically revert back to the past, because, for example, Alabama lost early in the season, so they've had the opportunity to, lose, go down in the ranking, and then build their way back up over time as they've had more games to play. But you have a team like Ohio State who won this past Saturday, but the previous Saturday they lost to Michigan State. So they don't have any more games to move themselves back up the poll system. But if they had lost earlier in the season, then it probably would have, if they had lost earlier in the season and won out, then they'd probably be ranked higher. That's basically what's going to happen to Michigan State if they beat Iowa, and is going to happen to Alabama, presuming Alabama wins the SEC championship. Michigan State lost earlier in the season, and then they've come back to win the rest of the way out so far. If they continue to win the rest of, if they win the Big Ten championship game, they'll probably be the fourth team in. But I think that's one thing they'll have to go back and look at when it comes to this system is how do you what effect does when you lose matter or have on your final ranking? Because I think that, you could lose late in the season just based on how your schedule is made and still be team in college football system, as opposed to a team who loses early and just because of when they lost, they end up ranked high, if you get what I'm trying to say. So I think there's still some kinks in the system, and some of those things will probably never get worked out, and they'll never figure it out, because it's always going to be those onesies and twosies, kind of a strange situation, if you will, that could possibly come up. But, I'm sure it'll get brought up in debate, and, they'll fix it. It'll be a good college football playoff, and I'm looking forward to it, but I'm also looking forward to what happens as championship week comes up, and some of these teams may or may not lose. Moving on to the NFL. Crazy, crazy. One thing in the NFL, we talked last week about Cam Newton and the parent who wrote the lady about, excuse me, who wrote the letter about Cam Newton dabbing after he scored touchdowns. God. But, I'm not even here. But I wonder if she's seen any of the videos, or did she see the video this past weekend of the Michigan State coach, and they were playing, I can't remember if it was Rick Ross or T-Pain, so All I Do Is Win. And then at one point in the song, it says something about putting your hands up. Everybody's hands go up. and he put his hands up. This is the actual game. I want to chill right in and complain about that. But, you know, that's neither here nor there, I guess. But we'll move on to the NBA. Hottest topic in the NBA right now. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. I meant the NFL. NFL. Cowboys lost Thanksgiving to Carolina. Carolina fans 11-0 right now. But the biggest thing for the Cowboys is that Tony Romo suffered a season-ending injury. So he's done for the season. And the question that has come up in some circles is, what do the Cowboys do now? I personally think, my opinion is that if Dez Bryant, for one, is still injured, if he's still not, you know, if he was trying to be, you know, the superstar and come back early from his foot injury, if he needs more time to heal, I consider shutting him down for the season if he needs more time. But the biggest thing is I think the Cowboys have got to decide now what they want to do at the quarterback position. I mean, Romo's not getting any younger. You know, this would be the second time he broke his collarbone this season. 35 years old. The Cowboys have got to figure out going forward if they feel like they can win a championship. I would say in the next two, I think Romo can play at a high level for another 2 years. And then after that, you know, I think he can play at a high level until he's about 37. And then after that, I think he'll progressively decline. So they got to figure out if they can win the championship within the next couple of years, because if they're not, then they seriously have to consider whether or not they're going to move on from Tony Romo. I mean, you know, he's only a year or two into that big contract they signed him to. You just signed Dez Bryant to a huge extension. You know, you got this young offensive line, and you're kind of in win now mode basically. So they got to figure out if that's really what they want to do. I don't know if that defense is really win now capable. I think the good thing that if there's anything that comes out of Romo being injured is that the Cowboys will have the opportunity to draft very, very high at the top of the draft. You know, there'll be a lottery team. More than likely, they're going to be a lottery team. And I wonder what direction they will go in. I mean, there's some really good college defensive players out there. If you look at a lot of these draft boards or player ranking boards that have been floating around for a good amount of time now, you'll see that a lot of the players that are ranked in the top 10 are defensive players. So the Cowboys could have a possibility to have the opportunity to draft a franchise changing defensive player, which they last time they drafted a defensive player in the first round really high didn't go too well. Maurice Claiborne, the cornerback. So I'm interested to see what they do along that line once they get this pick, and maybe this is an opportunity. This could be an opportunity for them to draft the heir apparent to Tony Romo. You know, let this guy come in and play behind Romo for 2 or 3 years, and then he slides in. You'll still have Dez, and maybe you'll have a good offensive line, and then you go from there. But I definitely don't think they should wait until Tony Romo is at the end where he out here looking like Kobe Bryant or Peyton Manning for that matter before they start trying to figure out who is his heir apparent, because right now, as you can see, the backup situation for the Cowboys is not very good. I mean, they can come in and put me at backup, and I ain't going to say I can do it better than Matt Castle or Brandon Whedon, even though the Cowboys cut him. But I will say that I can do it as bad. I mean, you know. But, you know, we'll see what – we'll continue to monitor that situation, continue to watch it and see, you know, what happens as they go forward. Like I said, I think Cowboys at least need to consider drafting the heir apparent to Tony Romo this coming up season. or try to trade for one of these younger guys, maybe trade for an RG3, a guy who's got some experience already. And you know, see what they can get out of him. I actually wouldn't mind seeing RG3 playing as starting quarterback for the Cowboys with Dez Bryant. That'd be a pretty interesting combination. And other news in the NFL, other news. The Eagles played on Thanksgiving, and they, like the Cowboys, got destroyed, except for the Lions, excuse me. Eagles got destroyed by the Detroit Lions, who have been less than stellar most of the season, but are now on a three-game winning streak. I think the biggest thing coming out of that game is whether or not Chip Kelly is going to be back next year. There's a lot of college football head coaching jobs open this year. As a matter of fact, the head coach Mark Rick from Georgia, ESPN, is reporting that he'll be fired by Georgia if he has not already been fired. The South Carolina job is open. Missouri, Miami still doesn't have a coach next year. So on and so forth. There's some college positions open. And obviously Chip Kelly, the head coach of the Eagles, did a great job while he was at Oregon and brought that program to national prominence. So I guess the question is, will he be back next year or not? You know, you had a couple of college coaches who just kind of been in the NFL for a few years and left. Steve Spurrier, Nick Saban was another one. Bobby Petrino did the same thing. Those guys have all been coasting NFL in the last 15 years, very successful college coaches, didn't do very well in the NFL, and after a short time period, went right back to the NFL. I honestly think that Chip Kelly will maybe give the NFL, if he's not fired, I don't think he'll quit. But I think he'll be, I think he'll end up back in college. I don't think he'll go this year because the one job I think he would leave the NFL for right now would be the Georgia job. Because to me, that job makes sense. He can go there, football, rich state. You know, he's got a lot of high school talent in the state of Georgia, right by Florida. Tremendous amount of talent obviously comes out of Florida. You know, a few states over from Texas, so he's got a good base to recruit from. Got a very healthy tradition at the University of Georgia, so I think that would be the one job that would entice him. That could entice him to go from the NFL back to college. I don't think the South Carolina job is necessarily worth it, in my opinion. I don't think the Missouri job is worth it. In my opinion, I think he could go down to Georgia, though, and he would, you know, I think being at Georgia, I think would be a great fit for Chip Kelly. Because the one thing you hear a lot of talk about since he's coming to the NFL, his system, you know, and whether or not his system can be successful in the NFL. I think the biggest problem with a guy like Chip Kelly's system is he, more than a lot of systems in the NFL, require a specific type of player in specific type of positions, which all NFL teams have an ideal player at certain positions. But his, I think, is a little bit more specific than others. The problem is in the NFL is that when you get guys in the contracts, it's not as easy to change over personnel. You know, so in the NBA, you see a few more trades, guys get cut maybe a little more. But in the NFL, once you get a guy, it's harder to transfer. I mean, it's harder to turn over their roster and get guys of equal talent. You know, you may have a guy like, say, LeSean McCoy who was able to trade. But then, I mean, no disrespect to DeMarco Murray, but DeMarco Murray had one great season. He hasn't been consistently as good as LeSean McCoy over his career. So the talent level was probably not the same. But I think if he goes back to college, now he can hand pick between him and his assistant coaches the guys who actually come onto his roster who fit into his mold. So I think that he'll leave Philadelphia at the end of the season. I think he'll end up as the head coach of the University of Georgia, and he's got some talent out there already. Georgia was picked to, I believe, whatever side of the SEC they're on. They were picked to win that side at the beginning of the season. Tremendous injury. Their running back, Nick Chubb, was having an outstanding season. He injured his knee. And after that, I want to say Georgia didn't play as well, but they probably didn't. They're 9-3 right now. So they could still, end up with a 10-win season if they win their bowl game. But probably not what they want at the beginning of the season. But I do think that if Chip Kelly ends up going to Georgia, he definitely could turn that program around. The thing with Georgia will be that it will be kind of a paradigm shift, if you will, if you look back at the history of the program. Mark Rigg, I think, has been there 15 years. They have been more of a power-running team, if you will. Some really good running backs at the time. He's produced some great NFL players. Matthew Stafford went there, A.J. Green, just to name a few. Todd Gurley of recent history that come up out of the Georgia program. Mark Rich has been there. But I think there'll be a paradigm shift in, get out of the I formation, which you kind of traditionally associated Georgia with, the more pro-style offense, and move into Chip Kelly's system, if Chip Kelly were to go down there. But I think that's what will happen. I think Chip Kelly, he'll leave the Eagles, and he'll end up taking a Georgia job. So, or the guy from Houston will come up and take the Georgia job. One of those two. But anyway, thank you all for tuning in this week. Great show again. I'm under the weather. Hopefully I'll get back to feeling better. But tune in again, same time, same bad channel. Tell a friend. We'll try to make these podcasts more available to everybody, so you can download it for not only for yourself, but you can tell a friend, or a friend can tell a friend on how to download this, listen to it. Appreciate it. Talk that talk, Tweety and LJ. Peace.